we are going to be unpacking today the idea of what it means to be a new creation in Christ. And so my goal is that you will be filled with hope, you will be filled with joy, you will be encouraged, that as you leave today, that you will be ready to accomplish the work God has for you this year. And to know that as you're going, that you are a new creation and what that actually means. And so we're going to unpack all of that today. So raise your hands if you have set a 2026 New Year's resolution. Anybody? Not a single? Oh, two. Okay, keep your hand up if you've already given up on it. One. All right, good. Haven't started yet. We'll get, that's next year, right? That's next year. It's funny, there's a video, I don't know if you've seen it, there's a guy, and he's like taking a video of himself, and he says, day one of not eating cookies. And it cuts to the next day, and he's like, day two of not eating cookies. And it cuts, and he goes, day one of not eating cookies. And he goes back, and he's just like, day one of not eating cookies. Right? I had a friend who once, his resolution was to become a professional athlete, and he sells roofing insurance now, so there you go. This idea of resolutions is super fascinating to me. I was Googling it, and turns out that over 90% of people who start a resolution finish it, or not, sorry, let me rephrase that, fail it by middle of February, which I think is hilarious. 23% quit within the first week, and 43% end it by January. We as a human species have a commitment problem, I think, right? And listen, we love to do it though, right? It's like you'll call your friend, they're like, hey girl, how's your week? And you're like, oh, I feel so fat and bloated from Christmas, it's terrible. And they're like, we should start a diet. You know, I've always wanted to do that one where you eat three pieces of ice and rub tomatoes on your, whatever, right? And you're like, yeah, let's do this diet. And they're like, should we start now? And they're like, well, I've got a party next week. I got to eat, right? That's what we do. I've told you this, me and my brother-in-law, we do this all, we have done so many random health challenges. We've done carnivore and keto. We've done ice plunges and extreme saunas. We have done fasting. We've done one. I'm not kidding you. One time he called me and he said, Jordan, what if we only ate donuts for a week just to see? I was like, no. I will go into 31 degree water while it's snowing, but I draw the line at a week of donuts. So anyway, that's another side note. We as people love this, right? We love this idea and this energy of starting something new, of trying to go for this goal, of doing these things and like the new progress and like the new feeling. And then what happens though is as we go, we stumble or we break the diet or we give up. Or if you're like me, you start a diet and then a week later you pretend like you never started the diet, right? And so we do all these things. This also happens at youth camp. I got some of my youth here in the front. Right? You go to this camp, you have this incredible experience with God, you're isolated, right? You have scripture, you have worship, you're meeting new people, you're actually getting outside and exercising because you're forced to, right? You're doing all of these things, and as you leave, you're like, oh, I'm on fire, like I'm ready, let's go, Lord, yeah! And then 2 weeks later, you're like, I'm the scum of the earth, right? You're just at rock bottom again. And so today, I want to leave us all encouraged and ready and energized to take on this year, right? I want to leave you equipped to know that you are a new creation, that you can do this, okay? So everybody, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And as you're going there, we're going to unpack this whole thing in three sections. But let's read the whole thing together, okay? This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Hallelujah. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's take this in chunks. Go to verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Okay? Our new life starts with realizing that Christ's love compels us, while our old ways condemn us. Okay? And this is an idea that we're going to see a ton in Scripture, right? This idea that you had an old self, right? A self that was dead in sin, and then Christ came on and makes you alive, right? And then as you're going, you begin to live for Christ. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn a lot, you can. If not, it'll be on the screen. I'm going to move around a lot, so stick with me. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, that's important, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's good, okay? Keep that in mind. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins. Hallelujah. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away. That's awesome. Nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So we see this idea in Scripture over and over, that we were dead in our sin, that we were living and acting in our old way, our old flesh, our old whatever, right? And then Christ comes along and makes us alive. But here's the deal. Our new life starts when we're raised with Christ. But we are set an expectation by Christ, by Scripture, after that new life starts, okay? Right here, look at verse 15, 2 Corinthians verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, sorry. And he died for all, and here's the charge, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So our new life starts with Christ, and then after we've given new life, we're given the task of following and pursuing and living for Christ, doing things that please him, right? And I find it interesting. So when I was Googling the New Year's resolution stuff, it said one of the main reasons that people fail their New Year's resolution is because they have a vague goal, a vague goal. We have a very clear goal right here, okay? Our goal as Christians is to live to please Christ. So everything in my life, everything I'm doing, everything I say, everything I think should be to please Christ. And I'm failing miserably at it, just so you know, right? We all are. But our goal as Christians is to do everything that pleases him. Everything in my life should look like Jesus. Selfishness, off. Fear, off. Anger, off. Whatever that is, God, I'm casting it off. I want to be more like Jesus, right? It's like, I was kind of talking about this last week a little bit, where this is really cool, wonderful experience that we get to have. where we get to live for Christ, where we get to go forth and do good. Like, it's this process of trying to be more like Jesus until our time comes. And it's crazy because, listen, here's the hope. You can do it. You can do it. You can fight sin and temptation and walk and be holy because of Christ. Okay? Because of the Holy Spirit working through you, because of Jesus, you can do it. And that's the hope for 2026. You can do it. Okay? This is Romans 6, verse 17. It says, "Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin." That means you used to be a slave to sin, right? "You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Hallelujah. Listen, you can do this. You have been set free from sin, meaning you no longer have to choose sin. The sin in your life that you're going through or that you're working through has no hold over you anymore, right? The fear, the anxiety, the whatever, the anger, the drunkenness, name it, that has no power over you because of what Christ has done in your life. You are a new creation. You've been set free. Unfortunately, you're not set free from the struggle of fighting sin. That'd be cool. But you're set free from pain. You're set free from guilt. You're set free from anger. You're set free from fill in the blank because of what Christ has done in your life. You ever seen the movie The Grinch? You know when he's like trying to get clothes on to go to Whoville? And he's like, no, it's Shrek. I thought you had The Grinch on. It's Shrek. He's got a Shrek shirt on. That's just green. That's all I saw. Right? But he's trying all these different clothes. And he's like, that's it. I'm not going. Right? He does the whole thing. I know this is bizarre. This is how I think of this. Right? You have all these different outfits available to you, right? You have righteousness and holiness. You have health. You have sin. You have greed. You have all these different outfits. And because of what Christ has done in your life, you have the ability to choose what you're putting on. And it's a moment after moment after moment, I don't want to say experiment, exercise where you're taking these things and you're saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to put on what you've called me to put on that pleases you. God, I'm going to take up this righteousness. I'm going to take up this holiness. I'm going to cast away selfishness. And it's that process of like becoming like Jesus. And we're so bad at it. I'm so bad at it, maybe I should say. Right? And it's every day I'm like, Lord, like, what am I doing? And he's so gracious. He's so faithful. He's like, you got this. You can do it. The Holy Spirit's working through you. Christ has died for you to be able to do this. Hallelujah. All right, moving on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 16. "So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." Guys, this is cool, okay? The reason that we no longer regard anyone from a worldly point of view is because we have what is called eternal perspective. Everyone say eternal perspective. Well done. Okay. Eternal perspective gives us a mission. Okay. Eternal perspective gives us a mission. This life, as you all may know, is extremely fleeting. It's very quick. And what the world will do is it'll say, you are only worth what you are able to give, right? You're only worth what you have or how good you are at something or what everybody thinks about you. Okay. But the reason that it's so important for us to hear this, Christians will not give up on that, what's the word, like lost cause maybe, or somebody who seems far or whatever, because we have been given a mission of reconciliation. We've been given a mission of eternal perspective. We don't look at a person and think, how many years will they be useful to me, right? We don't look at a person and interact with them and think like, oh, well, hopefully they're nice to me and I could, no. I said this to the youth earlier. This I was thinking about this whole week, and it's kind of messed me up a little bit. If you can talk and pray for a person like you want to talk to them in heaven one day, it will change you. If you're speaking to someone and you're speaking to them as if I want to see you next to Christ one day, it will change how you talk to people. And I don't do this all the time super well. I get distracted, right? Like kind of like the New Year's resolution. I get going and then I'm just like, I give up or I get distracted. In 2026, for all of you, I want to challenge you, pray for people like you want to see them in heaven. Talk to people like you love them enough that you have an eternal mission forever, because people are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, and I want to see them all in heaven. And so as you're going forward, think about people the way that the Bible calls us to, not from a worldly point of view, but eternally, okay? Verse 16, we don't regard anyone from a worldly point of view, but if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. The NLT says it this way, and it's awesome. The NLT says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Okay, praise God. Have you ever, let's see what this is. You ever read old texts or old letters or old messages that you sent to like your sweetheart a long time ago? Yuck, I did that once, right? You're like new in love and you're like, dear boo-boo, you're so wonderful, right? And you're saying all these like really flowery and then you go back and you read it and you're like, ugh, right? I debated telling this story. This is an embarrassing story of me, I apologize, but it's gonna bring our point home, I hope. It's not, it's a waste of my embarrassment. I had just started dating a girl, first girlfriend ever, okay? We were in a basement with her, her friend, and her friend's boyfriend. They were sitting on a couch. And I thought, you know what would be really funny is if I jumped over this couch onto their laps. Yeah, it was great. Very hilarious. They're gonna think I'm so cute and so funny and all this kind of stuff. So I do it. I jump and I land on all of their laps, and what I didn't realize is that my girlfriend had her legs crossed. And when my weight went on her leg dislocated her kneecap. I know. If you didn't know this, if you want to freak yourself out, you can extend your leg all the way out and relax it, and you can move your kneecap. I didn't know this. So now I'm in a basement with a girlfriend who is crying on the floor, her friend who is looking at me like I just shot a puppy, her boyfriend who will not look at me anymore, right? And two parents who are downstairs that have no idea what's going on, but they're pretty sure, Jordan, you should call your parents and go home. Right, I couldn't even drive at this point. I had to call my parents, right? I, for one, am grateful that I am not what my past is. I am grateful that I don't have to introduce myself saying, hi, my name is Jordan and I dislocated my ex-girlfriend's knee once 20 years ago, right? That's wonderful. I'm grateful that all of those past messages where they were goopy and sappy, and that doesn't define who I am anymore. Okay, I can move past that. Imagine if that's how people knew us. Imagine if people only knew you based on your past. Ugh, right? Imagine if they just knew you based on your past mistakes or your past sin or your past whatever. That would be awful. But here's what's cool about this passage. This passage is talking about a lot more than just freedom from awkward situations. This passage is talking about spiritual freedom. It's talking about how you had deep-seated sin that made you dead, and now you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The old's gone. It has no power over you. It has nothing to do with you anymore. It is gone. It'd be like me saying, I want to learn guitar, and then I wake up the next day as Jimi Hendrix. That's a guitar player younger, right? That would be great, right? That's the transformation we're talking about. It's not just a New Year's resolution of like, Lord, I really want to know you more. Or Lord, that's not what we're talking about. You were dead. Christ made you alive. You are new. It's gone. Amen. It's gone. There's nothing left, okay? Sin no longer holds power over you. That's awesome. Fear, anxiety, anger, pride. That was your old self. And so here's what's amazing about all this. The world will offer you temporary change, while Christ will offer you eternal change. The world will make your current self better, while Christ offers to make your current self new. The world says to build and rebrand and push through. Christ says to be reconciled and made new, okay? In a world, I'm not surprised that only 10% of people succeed in making any changes when they're just based on the world. I can't hardly do nothing. Me and Dad have talked about this for years. I've tried to lose weight up and down all over the place, me and him. And you just get caught in this rut where you're just like, I'm on, I'm off. Christ says, I'm making you new so that you can pursue him and please him and go forth and do good. And he's going to give you the power and ability through the Holy Spirit to do that because he's already done the work on the cross. Okay. Let's go to verse 20. In verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you do not know Jesus this way, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you are walking in a way that your old self is leading, not your new self, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you are walking in the new way and you are in that, I implore you to implore others on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. This is the most important thing we're going to do. 2026, here we come, right? I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. Let's stand up. Living Stones, go forth and do good. I want to empower you guys. Listen, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is working through you. Isn't that amazing? The same Spirit, the Spirit of God that raises life, that helps people, that breaks sin, that does all that, he is working through you to give you the ability to choose the new. And he set you free. You link all of those things together. Free from sin, new creation, all of these things that we talked about. You link all those together, and there's so much freedom. There's so much power in these things. And so I'm encouraging you guys, go into 2026 ready to kick some butt. Go in there ready to tell people about the gospel. To focus on the Lord, to cast away the old, to live to please the one who has called you out of the grave. Have hope. Be encouraged. I'm going to pray for y'all. God, thank you for bringing us here. Lord, thank you for your message of reconciliation, for making us new creations. Lord, I pray that you help us to realize that this isn't just a New Year's resolution, this is a life change. God, that if we're not living in the way you've called us to, God, that you would just make us uncomfortable until we do. Lord, that we would go forward with this idea that you have souls for us to talk to. God, that there is an eternal perspective that we need to uphold. God, that if there's something in our life that is not pleasing to you, Lord, that you would remove it. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness. God, you're better to us than we could possibly deserve. So, Lord, I pray for all of these new creations here, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would empower them, that you would flow through them, that you would work through them to glorify and praise God. Thank you for the cross, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.